First of all, the UNC Board of Trustees met earlier today. Among other things, they voted to revoke the honorary degree that UNC gave to Bill Cosby back in 2003. Chancellor Carol Folt saying that's the first time UNC's ever done that. And also today, this just coming down, the CEO of UNC Healthcare and the dean of the UNC School of Medicine, William Roper, has announced that he is going to be stepping down from that position in May of next year. WCHL's Blake Hodge was at the Board of Trustees meeting earlier today. He's been following the Bill Roper story since we first got wind of that earlier this afternoon. He joins us here now in the studio. What's the latest?
I saw Bill this morning.
And at the Board of Trustees meeting,
right? He
asked
me a question. Yeah. I answered it, and he gave me no sign that he was going to be stepping up. So, you know.
It must have just come up.
This is a big deal, though. I mean, he's the CEO of UNC Healthcare, the dean of the medical school. He has been at UNC since 1997, really, because he was the dean of the School of Public Health before that.
So he's been dean of in some form or fashion at UNC for more than 20 years.
Correct, yeah. Yes. 2004, I believe, is, as you said, the taking over as the dean of the medical school. And, you know, we just had the death of Stuart Bondurant earlier this week. Technically, it was Saturday. Mm-hmm. We got kind of the information a few days after that, after Memorial Day. He was the dean for 15 years, and that sounded like a long time. And now you've got Roper, who was, you know, by the time May 2019 comes around, going to be right on that same type
years.
Of path.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
He's been there for a long time. They've expanded a lot under his leadership, and UNC Healthcare and the medical school continue to be ranked very highly year in and year out in their respective rankings. There's a lot going on in the medical education curriculum and with the facilities, because they're having, they will eventually be working on a new medical education building here in the next couple of years at Berry Hill Hall. That will be demolished, a new building built there as well.
Which we were talking about, they were talking about at the board yesterday, right?
At the committee meeting,
yeah.
In the infrastructure, finance, infrastructure, and audit committee meeting on Wednesday. So Bill Roper's fingerprints are going to be felt across the UNC healthcare system for a long time, and he's laid a foundation of a very large system, and he's made no bones about the fact that he views it as a the industry overall is one where you need to be growing in order to survive, really, and especially if you're going to thrive in a way that UNC has on both, again, the healthcare hospital front and the medical education front.
Yeah, and that's been in the context of the recession in 2008, Republican takeover in 2010, which meant sort of funding pressures on UNC just in general over the course of the last decade, and Roper has, that's been most of his tenure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And before that, before coming back into the kind of academic world, he was advisor to President Reagan, I believe it was. He was there during some of the Bush years as well. He was head of the CDC for a little while, so he's got quite the resume whenever you kind of take the step back and look at it. In the news most recently, during the months-long negotiations with initially Carolina's Healthcare, which renamed to Atrium Health in the middle of those negotiations, which would have formed a new entity with UNC Healthcare and that entity based in Charlotte forming a new organization, which would have formed one of the largest healthcare systems in the country.
Staying in the growing vein, I
right,
guess.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So those talks eventually fell apart. There were noticeable frustration among kind of everybody that was overseeing the very secretive negotiations during all of that process. So I'm curious as to how much people will kind of remember that whenever you're thinking back over his time and how that could have been maybe the icing on the cake in terms of that expansion growth mindset. But certainly a lot of good things to look back on during his time leading the medical school and UNC Healthcare, and it's a big job to fill, and we'll see how they progress with that. He will be stepping down in May of 2019, so a year from now, so they've got time to work on this national search that they'll undertake now to find the replacement for Dean Bill Roper.
Awesome. And we may hear from Roper later on today. He's doing a news conference later on this afternoon, so we'll try to get his comments from that. So that's thing number one. Thing number two, Board of Trustees meeting this morning.
Correct.
And this kind of was anticipated, I think, before today, unlike the Roper announcement, that the board did vote to revoke Bill Cosby's honorary degree.
Yeah, and this was, it was a bit, it's always interesting to see people kind of navigating a process you're not as familiar with. It was part of a mail ballot, so it was not discussed today as part of the board meeting at all because it was voted on as part of the consent agenda. So it was a unanimous vote based on the information that was provided in the board materials and a little bit of post clarification regarding just one typo in that material, but a unanimous vote by the Board of Trustees to move forward with the chancellor's recommendation to revoke the honorary degree that was given to Bill Cosby in 2003, the same year that he was the commencement speaker at UNC. And mm-hmm. We got to talk a little bit with Chancellor Folt during the meeting today. I always take a break for a press availability. And we got a chance to hear from her a little bit then, kind of reiterating what we heard whenever this was initially put out back late April or early May. I think it may have trickled over into early May, just saying that, you know, there's, this is an honorary thing that the people who receive this have lived up to a certain type of merit to warrant receiving this degree, and that they felt that this, his now conviction on those sexual assault charges was so far out of the values of the university that it warranted this action. Mm-hmm. So they moved forward with the kind of formal vote on that this afternoon or this morning, but not a surprise, but certainly kind of the news of the day
kind of,
portion of the meeting there.
Significant thing, and not the first time a university has done this. Other universities across the country have, including Temple, right? Which was his alma mater, right?
Yeah. As far as the honorary degrees go, I know that UNC is kind of falling in line with a lot of other universities here, but it's the first time that UNC has done this. So it is a historic step today, and that, you know, brings about the question of opening the can of worms of, are you going to review every
honorary degree?
Because
there have been a lot
degree.
Of honorary degrees
yeah.
given, and you know that if you go back and look at the record, you'll find people who have done things that would merit a revocation or at least a consideration of revoking an honorary degree.
Right. So it doesn't sound like they're going to be getting into the business of launching a full review of every honorary degree that's been given by the university. So,
which suggests that this is because it's currently in the news.
Right. I think that
I think I'd feel better if they did go back and review the other ones.
That would be a large task, not to say they should or shouldn't do it based off of that information, but it would be, I mean, that would be a massive culling of information that it does not appear that the university is going to be going down that path of reviewing all of them and then making a new determination on whether or not that person still warrants the honorary degree. Folt pointed to the fact that this was the first one that has ever happened as to thinking that that is not going to be a regular occurrence for the Board of Trustees.
Speaking with Blake Hodge, that was at the Board of Trustees meeting earlier today, and you said that was kind of the most kind of headline-grabbing, newsworthy thing that happened today, but the board also discussed other university matters as well. So what else happened?
Yeah, I was able to ask Chancellor Folt in that same press availability about something that made news earlier in the week, which was local Democratic House and Senate lawmakers filing a bill. I'm trying to get my wording right here. Filing a bill, because we're not really expecting a whole lot of movement on it, honestly.
This will not pass,
That would force...
In this session.
That would force the university to move Silent Sam from the UNC campus. What Carol Folt told us today was they were not involved in the drafting of that legislation, but they are, you know, kind of, I'm trying to think of paraphrasing the wording here, always eager to work with anybody trying to solve the public safety issue that Silent Sam quite obviously at this point presents to the campus. You know, the public safety aspect of it is open to interpretation, as so much is in the legal world, of whether public safety means the thing is about to fall over and that is causing a public safety threat, or kind of the lingering threat of a Charlottesville type thing happening because of the Confederate monument on campus. So I, again, do not believe that there's a whole lot of momentum at this point for that bill to move forward. It was filed by five Democrats and a General Assembly that is controlled by supermajority Republicans in each side. We had Verlansko and Greg Meyer, the two House representatives. I believe Pricey Harrison was involved in that as well. And then Valerie Fushi and Mike Woodard, who represent Orange Chatham as well, with Fushi, and then Mike is over in Durham from the Senate side of things. So we'll see if there's any type of movement on that. I'm not anticipating that, but we did get a few answers from the university's perspective on that today. The biggest presentation that happened today was talking about the master planning process, and they went through a draft presentation of that today with Anna Wu, and she was talking about aligning that with the blueprint for NEXT, which is the strategic framework which was adopted by the university earlier this year. And you forget sometimes how much property UNC owns throughout Chapel Hill, and you know they're about at capacity on the central campus that's there. So, how to either go back and retrofit some of those buildings, or you're demolishing those buildings, building new ones, or you're expanding to the 1,000 acres at Mason Farm. Carolina North is still sitting there.
They've got some property just on the north side of Estes Drive that's about to be freed up here. So, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that continues to get built out. And, you know, it's funny how all these things kind of run together sometimes, because we're also talking about the light rail project in the university context, because they're planning those station areas on a university-owned property, and how those stations are going to look, and how any type of development is going to be handled on those station areas.
And they're still talking about that, even with what's going on at the General Assembly. They're not changing their plans
As the General Assembly is once again appearing to target the Durham Orange Light Rail project in the budgeting process. Now, of course, there's some hope out there among some local elected officials that a technical corrections bill will include some work to, again, kind of put off any type of immediate threat to the light rail system, as they're trying to get their federal affairs in order. But the interesting conversation that has shifted a little bit there with UNC is talking about these station areas for light rail, because that's the current plan, but saying that these corridors that have been identified where these station areas are going to go are going to lend themselves to mass transit one way or another. If that ends up being increased bus service through bus rapid transit or something like that, these are still going to be areas that will very likely be integral to the university being implemented in some sort of mass transit project throughout our community.
And that's going to be necessary down the road, because any more growth, I mean, we're talking about more traffic on the roads one way or the other.
Yeah,
so.
And, you know, at a certain point, you just have to do something.
I mean,
there's only there's a capacity of individual cars that are going to be able to be on the roads. And, you know, we talk about a lot of other types of things with autonomous cars and all these other things. That doesn't get any cars off the road.
Right.
A self-driving car doesn't mean that you've got 20% less cars. It just means people aren't driving those cars. So, you know, have to figure out, amid this massive growth that our region is having and connecting, you know, Duke, UNC, and NC Central with the light rail, how a bus route could be incorporated in that if light rail ultimately goes to the wayside. Still a lot of those discussions, but all of it being incorporated into the master planning process for the university.
Yeah, we'll keep following all of that. Blake Hodge, thank you so much.